Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. There seems to be a delay here, probably because of the signal and things out there. But anyway, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. We're streaming live here for a few minutes just to kind of brief you on three things and try to, you know, give you some perspective on what needs to be done here versus other things that we could do for you when it comes to, well, getting the job done right, for example. We have a situation here when it comes to questions that need to be asked. First of all, we know who lived several thousand years ago. His name was Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived. We know that for a fact. There's no comparison. You'll never forget that name. Whether you believe in it or not, you'll never forget that name. You know, we could forget other people and then go back and have to, oh, yeah, that guy. Okay. But not Jesus Christ. Such a familiar name, worldwide, no doubt. So who is Jesus Christ? There's a lot of questions people ask themselves. Was he a frail man? Was he just some prophet, like some claim to be? Did he have any special reasoning for being here? Now, what kind of person was Jesus Christ? You know, these are questions that a lot of people don't really want to get into. We're going to try to develop this in the next few minutes here for you. And we're going to paint you a little picture here. First of all, put you in a situation several thousand years ago when this technology we have now, which was thank God back then, wasn't here now. things back then were different. People still, you know, they shopped like we do now. They talked in groups. They debated. They did a lot of things. So those things are never going to change. So just the variety of things that change between now and in this technology in reality. But since the birth of automobiles and planes and all that, time has become so quick and things have gone so fast and people want things now. So that's the biggest difference between now and back then. It was more relaxed, if you will, back then, but still had its moments, still had its problems, still had wars and crazy things going on, people killing each other. I mean, just a lot of things, famines, all these things were still taking place. But at this moment in time, we want to talk about Jesus Christ, who lived in those times, who walked on the earth in those times as a man. For Jesus Christ to become who he is now and who he's going to be for us, the reigning king, so to speak, the one who's going to lead us through everything, he had to have a taste of what it was like to be a person. No angels could do that. They do not even understand what we go through. Jesus had to understand what man went through before he took the mantle, if you will, and put himself on this position of being the reigning king for a time frame for his father. So Jesus Christ walked this planet, worked as a carpenter, went to school, had brothers and sisters, probably fought with them, who knows, did many things in his lifetime until he was called upon, and we all know the situation then. Where he was baptized, and from that moment on, he went and did his work, did what he was set out to do for his father. These are things that we are going to talk about here. Where on earth did he come from? Which a lot of people always ask that question. It's a great question we're going to ask, too. Well, let's start off by saying, you know, the question that I always ask, I want to ask you. Well, we know there's many famous people in the world, right? Some are well-known in communities, cities, or whatever, even in the country, for example. And others are known worldwide, which is a big thing. We know Gandhi and things like that. Just knowing the name of someone famous doesn't mean that you truly know him, right? You don't. You really don't. You just know about him and what he's done. You might read about him. It doesn't mean you know the details about him. You don't know his background and what he might be really like. But again, like I just mentioned before, people have heard about Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. But still, today, to this day, many are still confused about who Jesus really was. They really are. They're confused about it because some say that he was merely a good man, like I said. Others claim he is no more than a prophet. Still, to this day, others believe that Jesus is God and should be worshipped. Well, should he be worshipped as a God? That's a good question that we're going to answer too. So I guess the golden question of the day is, since we use God's name in this show, and we're going to continue to use his name, another question I want to raise to everybody that's going to listen to this, and maybe I want you to really sit down and think about this, because this question needs to be brought to your Christian belief. It may change the way you think of things, but that might be a good thing, and it may just completely throw you off and say, no, I don't believe that at all. But the bottom line is, what you have to know is, why is it important for you, as an individual Christian, that is, to know Jehovah God, all right, Yahweh, Jehovah God, and Jesus Christ? That's a question. To know both of them, not just to understand that there's both, to understand that there's a difference. So it's important for you to know the truth about Jesus, big time. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why do we think that's an important thing? Because the Bible says it very clearly, and this is where a lot of people stumble, but a lot of people don't get this scripture, because this means everlasting life. They're coming to know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent forth, Jesus Christ. Listen to that again. This means everlasting life. This means what? Everlasting life. We discussed that, right? We discussed it, the chance to have life forever. Well, this is what it means. By knowing who? The only true God, Jehovah, and the one whom you sent forth, his son, being Jesus Christ. Separating the two. Where do you find that? Remember we talked about sports venues, you see the kick the field goals, and you see this banner in the background saying John 17:3 or John 3:16. We see all these things, right? Well, John 17:3 says this, like we just repeated again, and repeated again time and time again. This means everlasting life. They're coming to you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. This is basically Jesus talking and John writing it down, himself showing that the way to have everlasting life is to know the only true God and the one who sent forth, Jesus Christ, separating the two completely. So it's important to know that Jesus is not God. Very important. To me, it is. And as you read scripture and scripture and scripture and start to identify Jesus and read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a little bit of the Acts, and read Paul and things that talk about Jesus, you're going to get to understand there's a difference between Jesus and God, that they're not the same in any way, shape, or form. So really coming to know Jehovah God and Jesus Christ will do what? It's going to lead you to everlasting life, period. It's going to get you there. John 14:6, another great scripture that Jesus talked. Jesus said, I mean, he really emphasized this. He said at John 14:6, Jesus said to him, talking to the people in general, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus can't be God if he's already doing what? He's emphasizing that there's a way to get to God. And it's not him, because he's not God. He's basically telling you no one comes to the Father except through him. So in other words, Jesus is the mediator. But he emphasizes the fact that he's not the man. He's not the main one. If you want to pray to God, you got to go through him. Because what? He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And again, Jesus himself sets the best example of how to live and how to treat others, period. He shows complete compassion for people. Complete compassion. Scroll back one chapter. Go back to John chapter 13. Let's take a read on this one. Listen carefully to this. This is Jesus Christ talking, giving you as a Christian, remember this now, a new commandment, if you will. John 13, verses 34 and 35. I am giving you a new commandment. And what was that? And this is a very powerful one, because this is very hard for all of us to do. That you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love among yourselves. Oh, boy. Now, this is a tough one for a lot of people that are Christians to do. Tough indeed. Because you go to church, you come out of church, boom, you're done. Most cases, you are a loving person. There's no doubt. But this is a commandment that has to stay strong. It doesn't just happen on one day and leave and go back. It's a commandment from, guess who? The leader of Christianity, Jesus Christ. And he said what? That you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also love one another. Love is something that's hard to do for a lot of people, but it's also genuine if you show it. Remember that. This is a commandment from Christ, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We talked about the truth about God. So now we're going to consider a little bit about Jesus Christ. We're going to consider what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ, about this promised Messiah, as you will, the man with the plan, okay? Which I find fascinating to most people is the fact that they don't seem to get the grip of, well, in reality, why Jesus Christ was here. And what's the purpose of Jesus Christ? Was it just to die? Well, in a lot of cases, yes. But the bottom line is, he was the promised Messiah. So let's ask a question. I'm going to ask you a serious question. What does the title Messiah and Christ actually mean? And what does it mean to you? Because long ago, before Christ became on the scene, the Bible foretold about him coming. The coming of the one whom God would send as the Messiah or Christ. See, the title of Messiah is from a Hebrew word. Right? It's from an actual Hebrew word. And Christ is from a Greek word. Two separate words. Both mean anointed one. They both mean the anointed one. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. This promised one would be anointed. That is, he'd be appointed. In other words, appointed by God. To do a very, very special thing. A very special position he'd be holding. Before Jesus was actually born, however, many no doubt wondered about the man. They wondered big time because who will prove to be the Messiah? Because there's a lot of questions about what's this Messiah? Where is he? Blah, blah, blah. But when you look at Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, you can't question it after you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on his role and who he was as a person. The love that he carried for others, the healing and the forgiveness and what he did to make other people feel so wanted, made them feel alive again by giving them a message of hope that most people couldn't give. Because in the first century itself, the disciples themselves, the disciples of Jesus in real, were fully convinced that he was the foretold Messiah. They were convinced. There's no way they were going to say otherwise. Say in the book of John, and let's look at a scripture that talks about this. John chapter 1, verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. So they found him. They knew he was here. They knew who he was. See, how do they understand that this? Did they know that? I mean, was there just envisioned that they would know these things? Prophets out there that talked about this, the prophets of God who lived before Christ, foretold many details about this anointed one, about this Messiah. They really did. These details helped them to understand and identify where and when he'd show up, who he'd be. By means of these Bible prophets himself, Jehovah God, his father, would give a rather incredibly detailed description of this man, of what the Messiah would do and what he would experience. So this helped these prophecies helped these faithful ones to identify who this person was. And clearly, by the time he came on the scene, they knew. Let's go look at a couple of examples here to kind of help you understand what the disciples knew and how they knew these things, because the book of Micah talks about it. Some 700 years in advance, this prophet Micah foretold that the promised one would be born in Bethlehem. Can you believe that? The actual town. It's a small town. It's just in the land of Judah, basically. The book of Micah, which is in the Old, it's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This is him giving them a vision of 700 years prior to where Christ would actually be born. "Oh, you of Bethlehem, The one too little be among the thousands of Judah. From you will come out for me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from the ancient times, from the days of long ago. So he was basically prophesizing and saying, look, here we go. This is who it's going to be and where he's going to be born at. That's period. It's a big, big thing to understand. So where was he actually born at? Where was he born? Many centuries in advance, the same prophecy recorded at Daniel 9:25 pointed to the very year in reality, the very, very year in which the Messiah was to appear. Okay? Daniel 9:25 brought that out very clearly. It recorded it. Daniel 9:25 is a scripture that you might want to braid if you can in your mind. It says this: you should know and understand that from the issuing of the word to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the leader, that is, that's exactly what Daniel said, there will be 7 weeks, also 62 weeks, she will be restored and rebuilt with a public square and a moat, but in times of distress. When they talk about the weeks and the years, this is where a lot of people get confused, because these weeks are periods of time leading up. And actually end up being years. So let's take a look at those when we get down to it, because there's a lot there to learn about the way the prophets talked. We'll get into those subjects too. Because his ideas of prophecy were incredible. But Daniel's prophecy foretells the Messiah's arrival and everything, but he put it in different terms that we'd look at that and go, that's only like 69 weeks, there's no way. But there's a lot involved in that, to get to the actual year when Jesus Christ would show up on the scene, if you will. So learning these things is something you're going to know too. You're going to learn all these things. But further proof of that Jesus was the Messiah, became clear near the end of that 29 CE, when a year was when John the Baptizer, to be baptized in the Jordan River, he baptized Jesus Christ. See, God himself had promised John a sign that he would identify who the Messiah is. And John saw that incredible sign when Jesus was baptized. This is what the Bible says about this. After being baptized, Jesus immediately came out of the water and came up from the water itself. And look, we all know the story here, right? We all know the scriptures. And look, the heavens were opened up, and he saw God's Spirit. That's the Spirit descending like a dove, the Holy Spirit like a dove flowing down. All right. Now he's out of the water now, right? He just got baptized. Look, also a voice, listen, a voice from the heavens said, this is my Son, the Beloved, whom I have approved. There was a separation yet again, the Father and the Son. He's basically saying, this is the one. This is him. Now, Holy Spirit is upon Jesus now. Now he's got the powers that he needs to fulfill his Father's work. And after seeing and hearing all these things, hearing this, there's no doubt that John the Baptist knew who this was. At that very moment when the God's Spirit was poured out, that's when Jesus became the Messiah, the anointed, the appointed one, to be the leader and the king, if you will, the leader and king. What an incredible thing that would be. So that would be an incredible event for John the Baptist to see that. We know that the fulfillment of Bible prophecy itself, because of these scriptures and other things, tells us and led us right to this. Led us right to this event, right? But the Bible's not done. Oh, no. There's a lot more important things to know about Christ. Two other important things we need to know. Where did he come from? Okay, where did he come from? And what kind of person was he at the time? So where did he come from? We'll talk about that in a minute. We're going to take a quick break here, play a little song, and go from there. Thank you. So where did Jesus come from? Let's read a scripture to kind of give you an understanding of where Christ came from. John chapter 3 and verse 13. What a powerful man. You know, this is going to tell you how much love Jesus had for mankind. We know him as Jesus, obviously. John 3:13. This is Jesus himself talking, educating people to understand where he's from. Moreover, he says, no man has ascended into heaven. No man, nobody. What does that tell you? Oh, my goodness. No one has ascended into heaven yet. So in other words, there's nothing. There's no David. There's no Solomon. There's nobody who's come in here yet, right? Nobody. But the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So there you go. Guess who descended from heaven? The Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. John 3:13. Buddy, read it hard. Stay with it. John 6:8. Emphasizing yet again at John 6:38. John's a powerful book, man. This is Jesus again. For I have come down from heaven. Okay, that could just takes care of John 3:13, doesn't it? To do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Again, if this was Jesus was God, don't you think he would even bring this scripture up? No. This is not something you, as a Christian, used to be studying. And I'm going to go on a little tandem here. I'm going to get kind of a little tired, a real issue here with this, because Christians today have got to understand that Jesus is not God. And once you learn that, and we pray to Jesus, you're praying to Jesus as a mediator to go to God, that being Jehovah God. So your prayers have got to go through Christ. There's no doubt he's got everything. He's in control of everything right now. And we'll show a scripture later on where the Bible shows when he gives it up gladly, proudly, and lovingly to his Father. But right now, he's the one. But you have to understand, he's the one that his Father has said is anointed one, the appointed one. This is the one. So when he says, for I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. See, guess who came down to do his own will? That would be the other guy, that's Satan, the devil. He came down to his own will. No one sent him down to do that, but that's what he did. Satan is the one that came down to do his own will. That's the difference. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't come down for his own benefits and to be praised and to be pampered and all that. He came down for the Father who sent him here. His Father sent him here. And it's staying in the same chapter. At John 6 and verse 62, it says, what, therefore, if we should see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? This is a golden question. He's going back where? To where he was before, ascending to where he was before. He has been there for ancient, like Micah says, ancient of times. So he's put in a position for how many billions of years or millions of years, we don't know, he's been in the heavens before he came here. He's been put in a position to come here. And that's exactly what he did. John chapter 17. Remember John 17, verse 3? Well, now we're going to go to verse 4 and 5, all right? Now we're going to give it to you a little bit more at a time here. I understand that it might be too much for you to understand, but that's okay. See, Christianity has got a bad rap from so many Hollywood preachers, so many liars, so many people that teach no truth at all. They disrespect God in so many ways. So just remember that, okay? We're going to close out the show here shortly, but as we close out in the next 60 seconds, I want you to know that Jesus is who? The Son of God. I have glorified you on earth, having finished the work you have given to me. So now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory that I had alongside you before the world was. There you go. Jesus Christ is at what side? God's right hand. Please remember that. And we're going to come back at a later date, and we're going to talk more about this, how to worship God, how to worship Christ. But I wanted you to understand who Jesus was and who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, not God. And they're both together a loving pair who want the best for us, period. Thank you, and have a good day.